All right, let's unpack this. It is Tuesday, February 3, 2026. And I have to say, looking at the stack of reports we have on the desk today, it really feels like the ground is shifting.
It really does.
Usually, you know, tech news is incremental, a slightly better camera, a new button on an app. But the sources we're looking at today, they paint a picture of a world that is fundamentally different than it was even 6 months ago.
It's one of those weeks where you have to zoom out to see the pattern. We're digging into the Tech Frontiers 2026 comprehensive report. And what stands out isn't just one gadget. It's the convergence.
The convergence, yeah.
We're seeing software intelligence finally merging with the hardware that powers it. And then, boom, it physically manifests in our homes and on our streets.
And that is exactly the mission for this deep dive. We aren't just going to list specs. We want to connect the dots. We have the browser wars reigniting with OpenAI taking a direct shot at Google.
We have the silicon that makes all that local AI possible.
And the physical form of that AI in robotics with legislation just trying to sprint to catch up. And to keep us sane, a very surprising twist in the world of video games.
It covers the full spectrum, from the code to the chip to the robot to the law.
So let's start where most of us live online, the web browser. For 20 years, the deal has been simple. You type, you get blue links, you click, you read.
Right.
But according to this report on OpenAI's new project, Atlas, that whole era is, well, it's officially over.
It is. OpenAI jumping into the browser market isn't just about competing with Chrome. They are trying to redefine the very verb to search. And the report details this feature called auto mode, and that's the real disruption point.
Auto mode. It sounds like a setting on a camera. What does it actually do for someone sitting at their laptop?
Okay, think about the friction right now. You have a question, and you have to make a split-second choice. Do I ask a chatbot for a summary, or do I need to go to a search engine and sift through all the SEO spam?
Right. You're constantly toggling between give me the answer and give me the data.
Yeah.
If I want a recipe, I'm going to want the blog post. If I want to know the melting point of lead.
You just want the number.
I just want the number.
Exactly. Auto mode collapses that choice. It uses intent recognition to decide for you in real time. Ask a fact-based question, it just answers. But if you ask something complex, like compare the trade tariffs in the 2026 Economic Pact versus 2024.
Something that needs sources.
It recognizes that. And it dynamically builds a view that mixes a generated summary with the raw links. You don't toggle settings. You just ask.
That sounds incredibly convenient. It removes the cognitive load of how should I ask this? But I have to ask about the ecosystem. If Atlas is doing the summarizing, fewer people are clicking the links,
okay,
which means publishers lose traffic. Isn't this effectively just strip mining the open web?
That is the massive economic controversy bubbling right under the surface of this report. Atlas is an answer engine, not a search engine. For you, it's great. It's like having a research assistant. But for content creators,
it's an existential threat.
It is. If the browser answers the question, why visit the site? The Renet notes that this is likely going to trigger a wave of lawsuits, but the tech is rolling out regardless.
So the user wins on time, but the web loses on revenue. Let's look at the second feature, though, because this might be even more disruptive. The report calls it browser memory.
This is the feature that moves the browser from being a window to being a partner. Right now, browsers are amnesiacs. You close a tab, the context is gone.
It's gone.
Browser memory, according to the specs, uses a local vector database embedded right in the browser to maintain a project state.
Okay, let's break that down. Local vector database. What does that actually look like in practice?
Imagine you're planning a trip to Tokyo. On Tuesday, you look at flights. Wednesday, hotels. On Thursday, you search for best sushi near the hotel. A normal browser treats that Thursday search as a totally new event. It has no idea which hotel you picked. Atlas does. It remembers the context from Wednesday and filters the sushi results based on the hotel you were just looking at.
So it strings the sessions together. It builds a kind of mental model of what you're trying to do.
Precisely. It understands you're in Tokyo trip mode.
Yeah.
It shifts the burden of memory from your brain to the software. It connects the dots for you automatically.
That sounds incredible for productivity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for a complex project, having the browser actually know what I'm working on is a game changer. But my immediate reaction is privacy.
Of course.
If my browser remembers everything, my medical searches, financial queries, that is a huge honeypot of data.
That's the first thing I look for in the report. And this is where the hardware comes in. The source makes a crucial distinction. This memory is processed locally. It's on device.
Ah.
The vector database lives on your hard drive, not in OpenAI's cloud. They don't see your memory. Your computer does.
Which sidesteps the privacy nightmare. But it creates a new problem.
Yeah.
You need a powerful machine. You can't run a smart AI that remembers your life on some cheap laptop from 5 years ago.
Exactly. You need a proper neural processing unit, an NPU, that can handle that kind of throughput. You're basically running a mini server on your lap.
Which brings us perfectly to the engine room. The software needs a brain. And looking at our next source, NVIDIA has timed their new mobile architecture for exactly this moment. The Blackwell mobile launch.
This is the hardware that unlocks the software. We're looking at the launch of laptops with the NVIDIA RTX 5070 Ti and 5070. And while RTX usually just screams video games.
Ray tracing, yeah.
The report makes it very clear. This launch is about the 2026 workspace.
I noticed that shift in language. Usually it's all about frame rates. This time it's inference speeds and VRAM capacity. Why the pivot?
Because of Atlas. Because of local AI. If you want browser memory to be private, it has to run locally. And if you want it to run locally, you need massive memory bandwidth. Blackwell is designed specifically for these large language models on a laptop.
So this isn't just about graphics anymore. It's about having sovereign AI.
That's the term that's gaining traction. Sovereign AI, owning your own intelligence. The 5070 Ti is positioned as the entry point for professionals who need that. Lawyers, doctors, developers.
People who cannot upload their work to a cloud chatbot.
Exactly. They need the power on the metal.
The report does mention a specific economic detail, though. A global VRAM price hike.
Yeah, and that adds a layer of reality to this. VRAM video memory, it's the new gold. Everyone needs it. Car manufacturers for self-driving, server farms for ChatGPT, and now you need it for your laptop.
So prices are spiking.
They are, but NVIDIA is packing these laptops with high-speed memory anyway because the demand is just inelastic. People will pay for it because they need the tool.
It's interesting how luxury in tech used to mean a better screen or a lighter body. Now, luxury means privacy.
That's a profound way to put it. You're buying the ability to keep your thoughts off someone else's server.
Speaking of screens, though, we can't ignore the interface. We've got the brain, Atlas, and the engine, Blackwell. Now the display. The leaks around the Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 8 wide have surfaced. And there's one three-word phrase in here that made me want to stand up and cheer.
I think I know which one.
Zero visible crease.
The Holy Grail. We've been dealing with that little valley down the middle of foldable phones for almost a decade.
I've always held off on them for that exact reason.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt unfinished, like I was beta testing the hinge for them.
It was a constant physical reminder of the compromise. But the source indicates they've redesigned the hinge entirely, a new tension structure. But the bigger news for me is the aspect ratio.
The 4.3 tablet aspect ratio.
Which is the classic shape of, well, a piece of paper.
Right.
And that matters for the work use case we've been talking about. A tall, skinny phone is terrible for documents. A 4.3 square is perfect for reading PDFs or, going back to our first topic, running a desktop class browser like Atlas.
So the wide branding isn't just marketing. It's a functional shift. It's not a phone that folds. It's a pocket tablet.
And they have to do this. The report explicitly says they are positioning this as the ultimate counter to the rumored Apple Fold. Samsung knows Apple is late, but when Apple shows up.
They usually polish the tech to perfection.
So Samsung is trying to claim that no crease victory before Cupertino even enters the ring.
It's an arms race in your pocket. Okay, but let's zoom way out. We've looked at tech in our hands. Browsers, chips, phones. But the most disruptive news in this stack isn't about pixels. It's about atoms. We need to talk about Tesla and Optimus Gen 3.
This is where the scale of the conversation just changes completely. We are not talking about consumer electronics anymore. We're talking about the global labor force.
The headline number here is absolutely staggering. Elon Musk unveiled the Gen 3 with a target annual capacity of 1 million units by late 2026. Let's just pause on that.
Mm-hmm.
1 million humanoid robots a year.
It's not a pilot program.
No, that is mass production.
For context, that's roughly the production volume of a super popular car like a Toyota Corolla. If Tesla can actually hit that number, and you know their timelines are notoriously optimistic, it means humanoid robots become a commodity.
It stops being science fiction and starts being infrastructure.
Exactly. And the phrase they use is affordable general purpose humanoid robotics. If these things are being printed out like cars, where do they all go? 1 million robots a year.
They can't all go into Tesla factories.
That's the implication. They go into logistics, warehousing, construction. But the general purpose part is the key. Old robots did one thing. Weld this door. Move this box. Optimus is designed to learn.
You show it what to do and it does it.
It connects right back to the software we talked about. Optimus is basically the auto mode for the physical world. Intent-driven action.
But this brings us back to that friction point again. If you have millions of autonomous machines entering the workforce, and you also have autonomous cars on the streets, who's writing the rules?
That is the exact question the U.S. Senate is grappling with tomorrow. The report highlights the upcoming Senate MAC hearing.
The MAC hearing.
It stands for Monitoring Autonomous Control, and the focus is defining national safety protocols for Level 5 autonomous vehicles.
Level 5, we've heard this term for years. That's steering wheel optional, right? Mm. The human driver is completely removed.
Yes. No pedals, no wheel, no human needed, regardless of weather or location. The technology driven by the same NVIDIA chips and AI models is finally ready to deploy. The law is not.
So what's the central tension at this hearing? Safety? Liability?
It's both, but liability is the really sticky part. The sources suggest the debate will be on liability shields. If a level 5 robotaxi hits someone, who's responsible?
The passenger, the fleet operator, the algorithm developer.
All of the above. Tesla and others want federal standards to supersede state laws. They argue a patchwork of rules makes it impossible to deploy these fleets.
It feels like a collision course. You've got the tech industry saying, we have the robots, we have the cars, let us run. And the government saying, hang on, we don't even know how to insure a car with no driver.
And when you look at the sheer volume, 1 million robots, fleets of taxes legislation is just trying to catch up to production capacity. The tech isn't theoretical anymore. It's on the loading dock.
It really highlights the theme of this whole deep dive. The tech is moving faster than our ability to socially or legally process it.
It's the classic dilemma. We're building the engine while we are driving the car.
Well, after all that heavy lifting, global labor shifts, privacy wars, liability hearings, the stack does give us a little reprieve. A surprise leak from the gaming world. And I have to say, this one made me smile.
It is a fascinating pivot, isn't it?
We're talking about God of War, Don Olympus. But Kratos isn't in 4K 3D in some massive open world. The leak says it's a 2.5D Metroidvania.
For anyone listening who might not be a gamer, a Metroidvania is a 2D side-scrolling adventure. It's all about exploration, backtracking, unlocking new abilities to reach new areas.
It's a genre usually for indie developers. To see a massive franchise like God of War do this it's bold.
Incredibly bold. It's returning Kratos to his Greek roots, exploring his youth. But why do you think Sony would do this? We just spent 10 minutes talking about the immense power of NVIDIA Blackwell chips. Why use all that for a 2D side-scroller?
I think it speaks to a kind of fidelity fatigue. We've hit a point of diminishing returns with graphics. You can see every pore on a character's face. But is the game fun?
It's a market correction. Gameplay mechanics are winning over raw graphical horsepower again.
It's also a manageable scope. AAA games take 6 years and $300 million to make now. A 2.5D game, you can make that in 2 years with a smaller team. The industry is trying to find a sustainable middle ground.
And it mirrors the cultural mood, doesn't it? In a world of overwhelming complexity, AI everywhere, robots, political hearings, there's something comforting about a side-scroller. You go left to right. You solve the puzzle. You win. It's structured.
That is a great point. It's a digital detox inside the digital space, a return to clear rules.
The leak does mention fast-paced combat of modern platformers, so it will still feel snappy, but the format is nostalgic. It adds a human element to this whole tech stack. We build these supercomputers, and sometimes we just want to play a game that feels like 1995.
So we've covered a lot of ground today. Let's try to synthesize this. What's the through line for February 3, 2026?
If I had to pick one word, it would be externalization.
Externalization. Okay, break that down for us.
Look at the layers. OpenAI Atlas. We're externalizing our memory and our context. We're letting the browser remember for us.
Okay.
NVIDIA Blackwell. We're bringing the power to do that onto our local machines, externalizing the server farm into our backpack.
And then in the physical world.
With Tesla Optimus and Level 5 autonomy, we're externalizing physical labor and navigation. We're building machines to carry the boxes and drive the cars so we don't have to.
It really feels like the barrier between us and the tech is just dissolving. Mm. The AI isn't just a tool we pick up. It's becoming the environment we live in.
2026 is the year technology stops being a distinct activity and just becomes ambient background radiation. It's everywhere all the time.
Which leaves us with a provocative thought to end on. We've talked about the convenience of all this. It's undeniably easier to let Atlas remember your research or have a Tesla drive you to work. But we're outsourcing two core human functions, short-term memory and spatial navigation.
We are. We're trading cognitive load for convenience.
So the question for you listening to this is, as we hand these skills over to the algorithms, do we lose them? If the server goes down or the battery dies, can you still navigate a city on your own? Can you still hold the thread of a complex project in your own head without auto mode?
It's the calculator problem, just writ large. We stopped doing mental math when calculators showed up. Are we about to stop doing mental mapping and memory retention?
A little existential dread to go with your morning coffee. But that is why we do these deep dives, to see where the current is taking us.
Indeed. It's better to know where the river is flowing.
That wraps up our stack for today. Thanks for exploring the frontiers of 2026 with us. Keep your browsers private, your eyes on the road, at least for now, and stay curious. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.